Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you with all our heart, our soul, our strength and energy, O God. And we come here this Easter, Lord, knowing that the world is in a squeeze. Countries have gone into a lockdown in many of them, many states, most of them. Throughout the world we see that churches are not allowed to come together to worship in spirit and truth. Even amongst our nation, we have certain governors have chosen to become little dictators and have called for not assembling together in your name. What a crime. So, Father, I just know that they're bringing judgment upon themselves. But this is the hour of judgment, and we already see it has begun. Be with us, Lord, this Easter, this resurrection day. Even though the last few weeks has been bizarre, has been like nothing we've ever experienced in our lifetime, yet we know it is not so different from ages gone by when the first church age, they were not allowed to come together to meet. They had to meet in hiding. We find that Alpha has become Omega. What a shame. And yet, Lord, there's other aspects of the Alpha becoming Omega that is such a glorious thing because your presence is here among us. This is Easter. This is the resurrection. This is the day, Father, which we long for every year to come together knowing that somehow this could be the spring that the actual resurrection will take place. And we're looking for it, Father. We just ask you that we would use this time where we spend together in our homes listening to the voice that you have given to us in this hour, the shout, the message. And may we become so one with it that we're ready for the voice of the resurrection when it comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Be with us this morning, Father, this afternoon, as we open your word. May we reflect upon it, O God. May we hear, recognize, and then act upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, we're going to be looking at a resurrection message entitled The Resurrection Life, Serving God's Purpose. I'd like to open our Bibles, if we would, to Romans 9. We're going to read from verses 11 through 18. In Romans 9, verse 11, Paul says, "For the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or any evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls." In other words, it's not about you, it's about him. You see, it's all about him. It's not about those trying to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. It is all about the purpose and plan of God. It is all about his purpose. Jesus said, "Father, my will is that you would take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, not my purpose, not my plan, but your will, your plan, your purpose be done." And so Jesus yielded his will to the will of the Father, and therefore had he chosen his own will over God's will, because remember, he said, "Father, my will is that you take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Not my purpose, but your purpose be done." And had Jesus chosen not to say that, and to say, "Father, take this cup from me," God would have taken it from him. We wouldn't be here this morning having a resurrection service. In fact, we probably wouldn't even be called Christians, because Jesus would have gone down in disgrace as a coward. But he wasn't a coward. He knew the purpose and plan. In the Garden of Eden, he told the disciples exactly what's going to happen. They got worried. He said, listen, for this purpose have I come into this world. Don't worry about it. For this purpose have I come into this world. And so my question to you this morning is, what is your purpose? Why have you come into this world? And anybody that's my age, or, you know, Brother Steve, Brother Don, us kind of older guys in the church here, you know, life is but a vapor. I mean, yesterday we're playing basketball and we're young and kicking 50-yard field goals and everything else, right, Steve? Today we're old and curmudgeons and it's going. But eternal life will never go. And we're just here passing through. Solomon said, life is but a vapor. So Jesus yielded his will of the Father and therefore had chosen his own will over God's will. The story would be much different today and we'd not be celebrating the wonders of God's resurrection power. But Jesus placed God's will over his own, and so he yielded himself to God's purpose and plan above his very own. Jesus, our example of what every son of God should be or should be like, yielded his will to the purpose and plan of God. Now we read in John chapter 12, verse 23, and Jesus answering them said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Glorified. Now remember, the word glorified is en doxazo, endoxa zoe, endoxa zoe, in doxa zoe. In other words, in the life is the doxa, is the opinions, values, and judgment. He says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be in his flesh manifesting the opinions and values of judgment of God. Verily, verily, I say, if you accept a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it die and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose came I unto this hour. I would say the same thing this morning, or this afternoon. For this very purpose, we were born into the world. We have a purpose. William Branham had a purpose, Malachi 4. He had a purpose, Revelation 10 and 7. He had a purpose, Luke 17 and 30. And you and I have a purpose, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. We have a purpose, Romans 8 and 11. Romans 8 and 19. Romans 8, 25. Romans 8, 28 and 29, 23 and 30. To be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. To be manifested as sons of God. To come to the place of maturity that we might receive the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. That's our purpose, brother, sister. That's God's purpose for you. Now you can choose God's purpose, step into God's purpose, or you can choose to try to survive when the whole world is in fear. Listen, I don't know why anybody's afraid of this. I just don't understand it. True, it's a disease, okay? What? It's on the same level as SARS, because it is SARS. It's cold and SARS and HIV, two elements of HIV combined together. So it's on the same level as that. Have you walked around your whole life when AIDS was, you know, came out and I better not touch anything, I better, you know. Have you walked around during the cold season and during the flu season and I better keep my distance from everybody? I mean, no. You said, God is with me. I'll be okay. You don't fear. And if you have fear, it's not from God. Let me say that. Thus saith the Lord, it is not from God if you have fear over this thing. Mm-hmm. How are people that have fear over this thing, what's going to happen when they weaponize Ebola? Because that's Zechariah 14. People will rot right in their flesh. Let me tell you something. That's something that, you know, people are going to fear. But a common cold is taking people that are 70 to 80, 90 years old. Some, yeah, some maybe in their 50s, 60s, they had certain situations in their life or in their body. But at least they're not going to be here for the tribulation. What are people afraid to die anyway? I love Brother Steve's attitude. So, you know, I've already lived 70 years. God allowed me 70 years. So I've lived the 70 years he's allotted me, and he said, if perchance I have good health, he'll let me live another 10. 80, according to Scripture. Hallelujah! What are we afraid of? It's not, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's not the old people that are afraid. It's the young people that are afraid. What are you afraid of? Kick the devil in the teeth. Trust God. We read from Psalm 91. If I dwell in the presence of the Lord under the shadow of the Almighty, not a thing's going to touch me. I trust God. I trust God. Now, I'm not stupid and going out and running, you know, and mingling with all the world. Even in Goshen, they stayed away from Egyptians and the Egyptians and Egypt when the plagues were all falling. They stayed in Goshen. They stayed among their own people, believers. They didn't go running up. Listen, it's the same thing, brother, sister. You don't hobnob with people that have hepatitis B and all these venereal diseases. You don't hobnob with those people. You know, Bible calls us for a total separation from unbelief. It's just, look, either he's raised from the dead and there's resurrection power for you and I, or there's not. Either you be a man or you be a mouse. As the president of Brazil said, either we're men or we're little boys. And you know, they had one of the lowest cases and deaths in Brazil. And yet there's 240 million people there. It was close to the size of the United States, just two-thirds of us. They only have 1,000 deaths that have been attributed to this. We've got, what, 15,000? 20? Well, first of all, we know that they're padding all the deaths. You know, if you get hit by a bus, listen, doctors are saying this. If a person gets hit by a bus, their body's all busted up, they take them to the hospital, they can't take care of their busted body until they test them to see if they got COVID. Oh, now if the person has COVID but he was killed by a bus, they got to mark it down that he died of COVID. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that for anything else? Never. Never. In the history of medicine? Never. So that tells you there's an agenda going on. And the agenda isn't to get people sick. The agenda is to take down the economies of the world because it's prophesied. There would be a worldwide depression. I'm more afraid of that depression than I am of getting some illness. Because I know the angel of the Lord said, don't come near them. But the depression is going to affect everybody. People lose their jobs. Not just one here, one there. Lots of people are going to lose their jobs. Unless they smarten up. So, if Jesus, notice that Jesus found his purpose in life by manifesting the purpose of God, that God had for his life. That is why I believe our life purpose should be to find the very purpose of God for our own individual lives. Now, I'm getting back to Romans 9, reading from verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up. You mean God raised up Pharaoh for the same purpose he raised up Moses?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It wasn't to exalt Moses, and it wasn't to exalt Pharaoh. It was to exalt God. For the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Notice, the same time God is giving mercy unto one, he's giving a hardened heart to the others. Now, I believe this thing that we're seeing is going to pass. Mm-hmm. Within a few weeks, I think it's going to be behind us in the past. Why do I believe that? Because God is hardening the hearts of the people. How does God harden the heart? First, he brings on a trial like he did on 9/11. And the trial comes and people get scared and they run back to God. And then after it passes, a few weeks after, people go back to their old routines because they're habits, creatures of habit. They go back to their old routines, and what do? They go back and they don't even think about God anymore. Then God brings on another trial. SARS, or the H1N1, or the H5N5, whatever they were. All these different, every 4 years there's a pandemic, you know. That's, you just count on it. That's our people trying to make a global government. They say, well, get the people afraid enough, they're going to cry out for somebody to be their Savior. We have a Savior. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't need government to save us. Well, you're going to see bright sunny days. You're going to see the economy increase because Daniel 8 has to be fulfilled. You're going to see manufacturing take off. Everything's going to be good. And people are going to fall back into their complacent ways of Laodicea. And they're going to miss it because the next time, it won't be next time. I don't believe it's going to be under such a dire situation that God is going to have a resurrection. I believe it's going to be when everything is open and everything's prospering, everything else, and it's going to be right, going right on, and they won't even know it. Brother Ram said the rapture would take place, it'd be such a natural thing that if you just blink, you'll miss it. Such a natural thing. Now, as we are here this morning, during this economic downturn that has begun, just when things are beginning to really prosper, yet we have hope in this, that God, whose purpose and plan is to bring sons into the image of the firstborn, will use this time to do so unto us, even as he is using this time to harden others. The same sun that melts wax in the summer is the same sun that hardens the clay in the summer. You see, the very same trials that come upon us come upon the rest of the world as well. But the purpose of the trial is to bring out of you what God predestinated in you before the foundations of the earth. The judgment angel is going through the land. If he sees you have the token applied, he passes over. If he sees you're all bound up in fear, you're ready for the judgment. Fear is your worst enemy. Love casts out fear. And we've come through these signs over the past few years, where we've had four tetrads of blood moons, because we see in Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And we've seen these over the last few years. We've had four tetrads of blood moons, and as many solar eclipses. And now that we are beginning to witness, what we're beginning to witness is this next part where Jesus says, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, confusion. Now, this word distress of nations was translated from the Greek word sunoki, which speaks of anguish, anxiety, and distress. But the root word for this is sunicho, or suniko, which actually means to tighten, to compress, or to constrain under pressure. In other words, as Brother Branham said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, and what we're seeing is the beginning of the squeeze. Because the word squeeze is an economic term, it's used by the Wall Street Journal all the time. And so what Jesus spoke of, the distress of nations and the course of the world being financially squeezed, why would he talk about that? And that's what this COVID-19 is all about. To bring the world under the condition of the squeeze. That is what the globalist agenda is trying to do right now. To bring forth the greatest depression this world has ever seen. But Jesus tells us there are more things than what man is doing. He continues by saying the seas and the waves are roaring. So see, this is not just man's doing. This is actually a supernatural thing happening. God is allowing them to do these things, but he's also bringing tidal waves and these other things and tsunamis that have wiped out coastal cities in Alaska and in Indonesia and Japan. This judgment began after Brother Brown threw the rock up in the air in the Arizona mountains. And immediately after that, he said, judgment will strike the West Coast. And on Good Friday, the great 1964 Great Earthquake, the Good Friday Earthquake, they call it. Just look it up, the Good Friday Earthquake. It rocked Alaska and coastal cities, which were hit by tsunamis that this world hadn't seen in hundreds of years. Now, I've been to some of those cities, and Brother Justin probably has been there. What's that one right on the ocean there that's Soldotna, right? Yeah, Soldotna. Yeah, Soldotna was just totally, I mean, it's a big cove-like thing, and it just...
I mean, the waves came up just obliterated the city.
You can still see the destruction there now. You can still go there and see where timbers were piled up. They haven't even removed some of that stuff.
And then Jesus adds, verse 26, men's hearts will be failing them for fear, which has been the number one leading cause of death for at least the past 50 years. And from looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree, and the fig tree is the symbol of Israel, and all the trees. And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. See, I don't understand how anybody who is a message believer, and they believe this Bible as it was taught by a God's vindicated prophet, could be fearing these times. They should be lifting up their hands and rejoicing because our redemption is drawing near. Wake up. Wake up. Pinch yourself. This is the day that we've longed for. We should be the happiest people, even though the government might not be letting us do what we want to do. Hey, look, we're at home. We have nice homes. We have our own privacy. We have our yards. We have our families. We've come together to be with one another. We should be the happiest people on earth. I'm sure glad it's happening this way and not with some cataclysmic thing that the skies are dark and, you know, the world's on fire and everything else. I'm glad that he's given us a peace during this time. It should be a peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the thing you fear the most will come upon you. Right. Your own fear will bring it upon you. If you're so afraid of this thing, it's going to come on you.
Yep.
So look it in the face and laugh. You fear a dog, you know what? The dog's going to bite you. You don't fear the dog, you look him in the face, he don't know what to think. You have a mountain lion stalking you, you turn your back on him, he'll jump on you. You look him in the face, he don't know what to do. He don't know what to think. And the devil, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is just looking for you to turn and run so he can pounce on you. Look him in the face. Kick him in the teeth. My goodness, when I was 9 years old, I had a paper out. I had a paper out and I had to deliver 70 papers every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Got on my bicycle, I had, you know, the bags and all that, and I had a big German, a St. Bernard dog. That dog came running after me. I got off my truck, my bike. He came up and I timed it just right and I kicked him right in the chops. He might have bit his tongue or whatever, but that's where I learned to kick football. So see, all things work together for the good, right? I kicked that dog right in the chops. I was not afraid. But when you are afraid, when you turn your back, that's when the devil pounces on you. Don't be afraid. Alright? When you see these things come to pass, know that when the kingdom of God is near at hand, verily say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now let's go to Matthew 7:24. And see how these trials come. Notice. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, see, hearing, recognize, acting upon, and do with them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, which is Revelation. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, a revelation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. No revelation. And the same rains descended, the same floods came, the same winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Why? What's the difference between you sitting here this morning and the rest of the world out there? One thing. Revelation. Amen. Revelation. Which brought you the Holy Ghost. Revelation. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. And it's not me that's living, not Paul living, but it's Christ living in me.
And the life of the Son of God and the faith of the Son of God, he said, and I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not living by my faith. I'm living by his faith, his revelation. What was his revelation? I am the Son of God. What's your revelation? Don? What's your revelation, Steve? What's your revelation, Alberta? I am the Son of God, correct? All right. Amen. You're living by the same revelation Christ lived by. Now back to Luke 18. Excuse me. So the tests that fall upon the rest of the world will fall upon us as well. And the only difference between their house and yours is that your house is founded upon revelation of God's word and theirs is not. Israel had a token, a revelation of a blood of the Lamb, blood of the innocent one. They had a revelation. They applied the token. They applied that revelation in their life. And what happened? The death angel went on by. The same death angel that took out the neighbor, the same death angel that wiped out Egypt, is the same death angel that looked at them and said they got a revelation. And their house stood. Because we have a promise. It shall not come nigh thy dwelling. I want you to read that as homework every single day until you've memorized it. And recite it to yourself. Psalm 91. That's for this hour. Several times it talks about plagues. This is not the first one we're going to see. There's going to be others. But it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Now back to Luke 18, we'll pick up at verse 34. Here we see the condition of the people and why they missed the proving presence of the one who came down with a shout, the appearing of the Lord before the actual coming of the Son of God. God has come down and has been setting up his king, his invisible kingdom, getting everything in order. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now the word overcharged means weighed down. And surfeiting is a bad headache caused by too much drinking. And then Jesus adds, and drunkenness, and we know drunkenness is a condition where the keenness and sharpness of the mind and senses become dulled to what is actually happening around them. And you wouldn't believe, I don't know, I mean, I haven't checked it, but I'm prophesying, right? No, I'm not. I'm just saying, from what I see of the world, the sale of alcohol has probably gone way, 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 way up. They want to close down churches, but you can still sell booze. People are drinking away their time at home. All right? That's this hour. And drunkenness, and we know drunkenness is a condition where the keenness, the sharpness of the mind loses its sensibility. All right? Loses its ability to actually see what's happening around them. And the cares of this life. Now notice how the cares of this life come in and are associated with a mental condition like drunkenness. Because here's the key. And so that day come upon you unawares. That's the key. Cares of this life. What's it for? Satan gives you. What's it for? So you don't see what's going on. The drunkenness. What's it for? So they don't see what's going on. Bury your head in the sand. Be like the rest of the world. And the global government be upon you just like that. So we see how it will come. Jesus is warning us that the cares of this life will cloud the brain like drunkenness, and the people will not be aware that the kingdom of God is being established already in the earth. You see, Peter told us, gird up the loins of your mind at the time of the revelation or the apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. So if you have a spirit of fear, who gave it to you? The devil. It's not from God. Just fall in love with him. You won't have any fear. You know that he's watching over you. If he watches over the sparrow, he'll watch over you. Our minds have to be sharp minds if we're to catch the revelation of the word for the hour. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. What do you do when you gird up yourself? You're getting ready to run. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to move out because the revelation is going to come. Boom, 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 boom. Not clouded over with our own thinking or the thinking of the world, but filled with the thoughts of God, his dopes, his opinions, his values, his judgments. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. We can't afford to cloud up our minds with drink and cares of this life, but that is exactly what's happening to the people. And he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. I want you to notice the words that Jesus used here, like the words of fighting. which comes from the root word satiate, which means to saturate or to overindulge. So the Lord is warning us not to be of such a nature as to lack in watchfulness, that we would get carried away with the cares of this world, and thus the cares of this world would saturate our lives completely. Because when something is saturated, it becomes very heavy, and heaviness makes burden too hard to carry. Sometimes, just to prove the scripture, jump in water with full clothes on. Try to get out. You got 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds extra on you because it's all water weight. Now, when you allow the cares of this world to hold you down, what are you doing? You're making it impossible to move with the Word. You're burdening, the burden becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. Why? Just get rid of it all. Notice, and then he adds, and drunkenness. And the word drunkenness signifies to us the loss of an ability to rationally reason for ourselves that which is stable. And when the mind becomes discombobulated from the body, it affects your walk. That is why the police, when given a sobriety test, will have the person walk a straight line, and those that are drunken cannot walk the straight and narrow. And don't forget that Brother Brown told us in his vision where the little bride was starting to step out of line, he shouted, "Stay in line! For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." As a snare, as a trap, it shall come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's coming on you as well, so beware. Because if you have revelation, if your house is built on a rock, you'll see it. And you know it's a snare. And what do you do when you know something is a snare? You walk around it. You avoid it. Now notice these conditions have come to ensnare mankind into them. I don't care if you're in the deepest parts of the jungle of Africa or in the Amazon rainforest, the world is overwhelmed at this hour with the cares of this life. Then Jesus said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." You know, I think about the poor brothers in Africa. They're so trusting of their government that they didn't prepare their own selves. When you see these things coming on, make sure you're prepared to go through those days. When Israel knew that the plagues were going to come, Moses said, "Hey, get yourself plenty of water." They got themselves plenty of water, and then Egypt scoffed at it, and then when their water turned to blood, they had to go to Goshen to get drinking water. And the Jews, they said, "Well, you know what? It's going to cost you." And when Israel left Egypt, they left with the wealth of Egypt, the gold of Egypt. How do you think they could build a temple when they arrived in Israel with thousands and tens of thousands of ounces of gold? Where do they get it? Egypt. People sometimes, they just don't think past their nose. Now remember, the test will be upon all that live on the face of the earth, but there's something in that the world does not have that you have. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things are going to work together for your good, to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose, for those whom He has foreknown beforehand, He has also predestined to bear the likeness of His Son, that He might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers. And those whom He has predestined, He also has called. And those whom He has called, He has also declared free from guilt. And those whom He has declared free from guilt, He has also crowned with His doxa," His opinion, His values, and judgments. This tells us that no matter what condition the world happens to be in, God's purpose and election will stand, and that all things are working together to bring forth His purpose and plan. How is it that when the Jews in Germany saw the persecution coming on, it didn't come overnight, but they were being ostracized, then they had to wear a patch on their arm? Now, the smart ones, the ones that had any revelation, they said, "There's something happening here. We're getting out before it gets too bad." They came to America. They could still travel at that time. The ones who had their trust in man, in government, "Oh, they won't go that far. They never gone that far. They won't go that far." Why don't they read their Bibles? They know exactly what happened in the different places. In Babylon and in Egypt and different places. They know what happened. They know man is man. So people think today, well, you know, it'll never get like it was in Germany because, you know, we'll never let it happen again. You won't. You're letting them already do it. They've already done it. They've already shut down churches. They've already done it. The Constitution's been ripped up 1,000 times. It's on, brother, sister. It's on. Either you trust God and you smarten up and you protect yourself and your family for what's coming down the road, because we've had a prophet for 40, 50 years now who told us what's coming and how many people are really prepared for it. How many people have actually said, okay, I know that day's coming, so I better have this, I better have this, I better have this. They're having my soul ready as well. Because even if I don't need this, this, and this, if my soul's ready, I'm going to go. But there may be a time, like there was in Egypt, like there was in different places, that I'm going to need some of this and this for a period of time. Smarten up. Think ahead. Don't live for today. Don't live like, well, okay, I got a job, it pays it, so I can spend this much. So, you know, everybody, they buy houses that way. Well, I earn so much, so I can spend this much. So I can get a car and I can get this. Okay, what if you need something else? What if you have an accident? What if you have a hospital bill? What if you have this debt? And you don't store up, you don't save up, because you just live like, hey, might as well live it up. This Laodicea, might as well have it, what everybody else has. That's the younger generation. Now, my generation, when we got married, we had crates for furniture. We just put a blanket over it, or put a nice little cloth over it, and that was a table. Put a little cloth over that apple crate, and that became a chair. Some people even, they would buy they'd get these big rolls that they were, you know, where they had the big wire. You know, they look like a big thimble, but they're about like yay tall, and about that round, and they used them for their kitchen tables. Yeah, because that's all they could afford. Then all of a sudden, what happened in the 80s? All of a sudden, the young people start coming up. Their parents have good living and everything else. They expect it. And they go out and they put themselves in so much debt. Don't you know that the Bible says that the debtor is servant to the lender? Servant. You're the slave. They say jump. You got to jump. Either that or you're going to lose it all. Better smarten up and get everything paid off. Brother Ram said, get everything paid off. Owe no man nothing but to serve, but to love him. This tells us where he says he has declared free of guilt. He has also crowned with his doxa. This tells us that no matter what condition the world happens to be in, God's purpose in election will stand, and that all things are working together to bring forth his purpose and his plan. So my question is, do you know his plan for you? Have you found yourself in the Bible? Do you know the promises of God for you for this hour? It's very sad to know this Easter that Christians have been driven underground as it was in the first church age, but this time it was not by a Roman military edict that drove them into hiding, like the first resurrection morning, but rather this time the churches are closed up because of the same spirit of Satan who is controlling the Roman-inspired globalist agenda. And throughout the world we see governments reacting the same way to this end-time germ warfare called COVID-19 pandemic. And don't you think it's strange that most of the countries in the world are all following the same marching orders? I mean, you can look and there's countries that only have one case of corona, not the beer, one case of corona virus. El Salvador. El Salvador had one case and they shut everything down. And you know what? If you left your house, you got arrested and put in quarantine for 30 days. And then after that, you get put in prison for 3 years. Why? Fear. Somebody said, jump, and they all jumped. And you don't think they're going to persecute the Christians? You're living in a fantasy world. The devil is just roaring like a lion that's been wounded. And he wants to take down, he knows his end is short. He wants to take down as many as he can. And we know because we paid attention to God's prophetic warning that the agenda is to bring forth a depression in order to bring the world under the control of Rome, who owns the gold. That's what it's all about. They sent forth this pandemic not to make people sick, but to tighten their control on the world, who has been opening their eyes for the past 3 years. You notice, 3 years ago, the UK revolted and they rejected the EU. Then here in the U.S., they chose a man, not because he was virtuous, but they chose him because he was a fighter. And they wanted someone to fight for them. Then we saw Hungary. They elected a fighter, and they broke away. And now Italy on the verge of breaking away, and the president of Brazil, who's not abiding by this one world agenda. I believe it may be too late, because the globalists have begun tightening down the economies of the world, shutting down the world economies to bring on the squeeze, which Brother Graham told us would come. And we know the term squeeze is an economic term used by Wall Street Jews for many years. And now this morning, therefore, I want to focus our thoughts on the purpose and plan of God. That is what Jesus did that was noteworthy on that Good Friday when he had a decision to make. Either go through with God's purpose and plan for his life, or ask God to take the cup from him. He chose to stay the course with God's purpose and plan, and I hope we shall do the same. Yeah. How many of you believe that you're going to be manifested as the Son of God? Do you? Let me see your hands. How many believe that you're being brought from the new birth unto a fully mature son or daughter of God? How many believe that you're being conformed, present tense, being conformed to the image of the firstborn son? That's God's purpose and plan for you. God has flowers out there. He has a purpose and plan for everything. And if that flower is in the purpose and plan of God, you know what? When the winter comes and the freeze comes and it dies, it goes into the ground, what happens? Next spring, it comes up again. It's got a resurrection. And there's a resurrection for any being that is living according to the purpose of God. From the unveiling of God, Brother Bram said, we are here for one purpose, and that's a closer walk with God. And that's all we can do, is to believe the Lord Jesus is with us, and we're here to walk closer with him. Now, I like these words because that should be our purpose today also, to draw closer to God. And I'm sure that is why we're here today. There should be no other reason why we're here. We are not here to be seen. We are not here to show off Easter clothing. There's just one reason for us to be here today, especially in such trying times as this pandemic has been made trying to us. Because whether the numbers of cases are faked to appear greater than what they are or not, the disease itself is very real. But we are here for the purpose of drawing closer to God. And perhaps also we are here to make ourselves ready for when the shout turns to the voice of the resurrection. But as we read in our text this morning, the purpose of God stands sure in election. Now, Brother Bram also stated, paragraph 13, I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, it's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down, it might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. And it must be done that way. So see, Brother Ram is telling us here that even the presentation of the gospel is done in such a way as to weed out of the church any unbelief that might be hanging on, that might affect those remaining in it. Always remember, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Then it might be, he continues, verse 14, then it might be that some would say, well, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? Well, he certainly did. And he does yet. He said one day when he had thousands around him, he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of God and Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What kind of a statement do you think that a medical doctor or nurse or any fine intellectual person would think of the statement like that? For a man that had a ministry like he had, why, he would say, eat the flesh, that's cannibal. To drink human blood, it's vampire. In other words, he wants us to be vampires and cannibals, and the whole audience walked away from it. Now listen, that's tough preaching, but it's the truth. And the truth may hurt, but it's good for you. What would you rather have, lies? You want a fake hope? I don't think so. I like straight and truthful no matter how much it hurts. And then he tells us, paragraph 64, if they'd only known the word, they'd have known who Jesus was. If a man only know the word of God, he'd know the hour that we're living in and what's going on.
Right there. You know why people don't know what's going on? They don't know the word. They don't know the word. They're basing what's going on by whatever they can get on some YouTube. They don't know the word. But if you know the word, you know what's going to happen. You know what's got to happen. I remember years ago, 1976, a fellow, I won't say who it is, was preaching down at a church down in Tucson. There's five churches, so we'll just leave it at that. And they had, just it was packed that night, maybe 1,000 people. And he's preaching that the Lord was coming before the morning because Brother Bram said by 77, because he didn't have a revelation of what Brother Bram said. So Brother Bell, on the way out the door, the man was standing there shaking hands, and Brother Bell said, "Well, I'll have coffee with you in the morning." Brother Bell said, the guy looked at me like I'm an unbeliever. He said, "No, I know the word. I knew that there had to be certain things happen yet. And they didn't happen. So it wasn't going to be by the morning." Well, that's the way people are. They don't know the word. They don't know what. They don't know the difference between Daniel 8 and Daniel 9. They don't. Daniel 8, we see a man come on. He's a world leader. He's into word games. I'll just put it that way. And he's full of self. But he takes on the Pope and he makes craft, makes manufacturing to prosper by his policies. That's what it says. Alright? Now that's before Daniel 9. When the prince, if this one takes on this prince of princes, then Daniel 9, this prince of princes, makes a pact with the Jews, the Wall Street Jews. That's Daniel 9. This has got to happen in Daniel 8. You've got to know the word, brother, sister. You got to know what Brother Bram said. There's got to be a squeeze come on first. Before the depression, before the judgment, before the plague and all that. There's got to be a squeeze come on. What are we looking at now? There's a tightening. All right. Now, what is Brother Bram doing here? All right. He says, if they had only known the word, they would have known who Jesus was. If a man only know the word of God, he'd know the hour we're living and what's going on. They just refuse to listen to the word. Because they're traditions. What caused those Jews to see that? What caused? Looked like that they could have actually seen. Because the thing was tore open. It was tore open for a purpose. He's talking about the veil that hid the Shekinah presence. And it was tore open. And the man that was that veil was tore open on the cross, standing there on the cross. Now, what is Brother Am doing here? He's showing us that God has a purpose and He has a plan, and it is our duty to look to and know God's purpose and His plan for us in this hour. And then when we come to an understanding of God's purpose and plan for us in this hour, we should drop everything else and focus on that. Because that is the example that Jesus gave us of how to be the right kind of a son. From a sermon, I know. Brother Bram said, "Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that I'm part of Easter. I'm part of that resurrection. And we know, and we are part of it this morning because in us dwells the resurrection life. That as a partaker through Easter, I know that my Redeemer." Now, what do you know? I'm not guessing at it. We got too many guessing today. I know my Redeemer liveth. Can you say that? I know my Redeemer liveth. I know, yes. Yes, sir. Now, what was he? If he lived, he was a... remember Job? My Redeemer liveth. And what else do you know? What else do you know, Job? What did you see in that vision? "And at the last days he shall stand upon the earth, and though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand at the last day upon the earth, though my reins be consumed within me, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." So there was the greatest vision. He saw his end from the beginning.
when the children were all taken off the scene, and we find that everything was double back, cows, double back, camels, double back, everything that he lost, sheep. He got the same seven children. Brother Graham said, where were they? God kept them in heaven for him. That's your token, brother, sister.
Better be applying if you want to see him on the other side.
Don't be looking. Don't look. Job, he applied the blood regardless of what they were doing. He said, I don't know if they're sinning. I don't know if they're not sinning. I'm going to apply the blood anyway. Now listen, you think your kids are good? Apply it anyway. You think they're rascals and they'll never make it? Apply it anyway. If you want to see them on the other side, because Isaiah says, and all of thine offspring with them. There you go. You're looking at circumstances. Don't look at circumstances. Look at the Word. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Brother Bram said, if I wasn't for this message, I'd be against it. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a condition to be in and not even know it. That shows the world is in a completely mad and insane condition, and yet it goes to church. It goes to churches. You know, I look at this series that we've come through in this unveiling of God, and how we spent, 7 weeks or maybe more on the end time neurosis, the end time insanity, all that. Then we went into the end time depression judgment. Then we went into the end time plagues. And then what happened? It's here. All of it. It's here. That shows God is with us, brother, sister. Pillar of fire is leading us. He showed us. Before these things come, he showed us exactly what's going to take place. And now they're taking place. Are we sitting back and saying, is this it? Open your eyes. What a condition to be in and not even know it. That shows the world is in a completely mad and insane condition, and yet so goes the church to this hour. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Notice verse 18, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See what? The answer is in verse 20. He's at the door while she's in this condition. Brother, sister, our only hope is the resurrection. Our only hope is in the one who is the resurrection and the life. He said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door. It's all about getting our focus on him. He says, look, I am here. I am the resurrection and the life. Look to me and live. Now, to get a better picture of this condition we see here and our need for him, who is the resurrection and the life, we see in John 11 the story of Lazarus, who was a type of the church today. He had been dead for 4 days already before Jesus came on the scene to awaken him. Now remember, Jesus said he sleepeth, and they did not catch what he said. So he had told them, he is dead. They thought, oh, if he's sleeping, that's okay. Jesus said, he's dead! And for the very purpose of letting him die, I could have gone there 3 days ago. Healed him while I was still sick. That's not the plan of God. That's not the purpose of God. But to show you that I am the resurrection and the life, I tell you, he's dead. Now let's go back. Let's go. Alright? But just as then, so is it today. Something is fixing to awaken her out of her sleep. Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead for 4 days. Notice verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, set it not unto thee, that if thou believest, thou should see the glory of God. Now, remember, this glory of God is the doxa of God, which is the very opinions, values, and judgment of God. But Jesus didn't say here, you will hear the doxa of God, but he told her, you will see the dose of God. That means it's manifest. Not just talk. It's manifest. You will see the dose of God. You will see the opinions. You'll see the values. You'll see the judgment of God manifested right before your very eyes, because he's going to live. Because I am the resurrection and the life. He was speaking of the very dose of God being manifested, and what did the dose of God produce? It produced life! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Resurrection power brought forth
resurrection life.
And when he said he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now Alpha must repeat in Omega. And one day soon we're going to see the dopes of God, which we have spoken, actually manifest itself in resurrection life. And the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the resurrection life that is to become manifested in the elect of God and then manifested to us in us to the world. Romans 8. Watch how Paul develops this thought. So let's begin with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For they that are after self do mind the things of self, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of Spirit. That's why I say you cannot walk with God if you are into self. If everything to you is a pity party, you're not focused on His Word. You're not focused on what He says about you. You're focused on your pity. You're focused on self. And you can't please God and be into self. That's what He says here. That the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For they that are after self do mind the things of self. How can you not? When you're self-centered, all you think about is yourself. How everything affects you. When you're Christ-centered, self, all stuff about self goes off your back like water off a duck. For they that are after self do mind the things of self, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be self-minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the self-centered mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be, neither indeed can it be. How can you be subject to God's Word when you're subject to your own thinking? How can you be doing the purpose of God when you're fulfilling your own self-centered interest? So then, they that are into self cannot please God. But you are not into self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God is in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, you're dead to self. And the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of self, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How many wartime heroes became wartime heroes because they didn't look at being pinned down? They didn't look at self. Oh, if I do this, I might get shot. Therefore, I'm going to huddle down. And they watch all their buddies get blown away. But every once in a while, you find a man who is selfless. Who would go out in the midst of the machine gun fire and pick up people that were hit by bullets and carry them over their back and bring them back. Even getting hit themselves sometimes, but they go right back out again. You see, that's a selfless person. And they become heroes. And we look up to them and we give them glory and honor. But not so the self-centered person. They huddle down. They're afraid. They're afraid of their shadow. They're afraid of anything. Because they're into self. But if you don't think about self, and you think about the purpose and plan of God, then you can shout it from the housetops. You know, somebody said to me the other day, they said, "Well, aren't you afraid that they'll come and arrest you for having church?" I said, "No, I don't care what they do. Why would I care? If they want to come, come on in. I'm not afraid to stand with God." You know, it's like saying to Daniel, "Well, you know, Daniel, you better not pray because there's an edict that says you can't pray." So what did Daniel do? He threw open the sash every day, three times a day. "Come and get me, come and get me." They did. They did. They threw him in the lion's den. You know what? God's presence was there with him. Nothing happened to Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a, you got to worship this statue, which was a statue of Daniel. Brother Brown said so. Belteshazzar, that's a name that Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel, was Belteshazzar. They were told, you got to worship this man, this statue. They said, you might be the prophet of the age, but I ain't going to worship him. I worship God. What do they do? They round him up. Let's make the fire 7 times hotter. Brother Brown said, that's the end time, that's this hour. 7 times hotter than any age. And the big burly men that went to throw him in, those men got burnt up while those brothers just walked right into the midst of the flame. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, I wouldn't worry about anything coming near you. Either you believe God or you believe the devil's lie. That's it. You want to believe the devil's lie? Listen, I'll tell you what. Shut those TVs off. Shut those YouTubes off. Shut everything off. Quit listening to the stats of everything that's going on. It's all lies anyway. We've got fake religion, fake politics, fake economy, fake education, fake healthcare, and fake MSM. It's all fake. So when you turn it on, you're hearing nothing but what they want you to know. And it's all a lie. Why don't you get out the tapes and listen to the tapes as many hours as you would that other stuff? Why don't you study the Word of God? See what God has to say about this hour. Then you're not going to be afraid. You won't be afraid. No. In many places, you know, the angel of the Lord, every time he came, fear not. Fear not. I've come from the presence of the Lord. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, which shall be revealed, manifested, made known in who? Us. In us. Notice he speaks of having that resurrection power in us. The same power and same resurrection life that raised up Jesus, living itself out in us and manifesting itself out in us. And he goes from that doxa of God manifesting in us to then saying it will manifest itself to the world through us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, it's about time that the people who call themselves the bride of Jesus Christ start acting like it. It's about time that they throw away the fear of the world and they embrace the power of the Word and the power of a resurrected life. How do you expect a third pole to come if you're afraid to speak the Word? Huh? The Word's creative. Are you afraid to speak a creative word? Well, then you're not bride material. That's all. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, we're free. We're free. Oh, you better stay home. You better be fearful. You better do this. I'm free. I'm sorry. I go where I want to. I go as I please. I'm not afraid of the king's, whatever it was said in the Old Testament, the king's command. I'm not afraid of the king's command. I have the king. Like Martin Luther said, look, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go out and mingle with the world. But if there's a brother or sister who's dying of this plague, I'm going to go over and minister to them. I've laid hands on the sick with people that have tuberculosis, far, far worse disease than this little COVID thing that people are afraid of, this cough, this cold. You know, there's 4 symptoms. You know that? 4 symptoms. There's a cough. All right? There's a fever. Okay? There's some body ache. And there's tiredness. I got anybody in here over 60 that's not tired? Well, you've got it, brother. You've got corona. Corona. Whatever. You know. How many cough this time of year during all the pollen? Well, you better watch out. You better not tell a doctor that. He'll write you down. You got coronavirus. Did you know that the cold has the same 4 symptoms? Did you know the flu has the same 4 symptoms? Did you know that malaria has 3 out of the 4? You know yellow fever has 3 out of the 4? Do you know that almost all these diseases have 3 out of the 4 so-called evidences that you've got the coronavirus? And did you know that the testing that they have you take is 80% false positive. That means if you take it, 80% chance that they're going to say you have it. Because it's protein-based. You know what protein-based is? It's an RNA base. You know what that is? If you had a ham sandwich, you got protein in your mouth, and you take a swab, you've got coronavirus. That's right. And did you know that the World Health Organization, that they sent 100-some thousand test kits to France, and France rejected them because why? Because, the virus was in the swab. So if you swab yourself, you're swabbing yourself with the virus, so you're going to get the virus. And you tell me the World Health Organization is there for the people? It's not there for the people. It's 30 or 40% of it is owned by Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation. You say, well, why did a guy go from computers? Listen, if he couldn't cure viruses in the computers, do you think he's going to cure viruses through his vaccine programs? Oh, come on. Right? Did you know that Bill Gates' father was head? He was a national head of the abortion industry. What do you call it? What's the organization that does abortions? Fund abortions. Planned Parenthood. His father, back when he was in school, his father was the head of that organization. As is his mother, so is the daughter. As is the father, so is the son. So he tells in 2017, he's before the United Nations, and he says, you know, I think we need to vaccine everybody. That way we can reduce the world population by 10 to 15%. Huh? I thought vaccines were to save lives. No. See, this is where people are so wrong. No. Nuh-uh. I remember one of my first trips down to Peru, and I was reading down there of all these young little girls, 13, 14 years old. They were being given the vaccine HPV. Human papilloma virus. Okay, it was supposed to, because they said, well, you know, women have cancer. You know, maybe 3 out of 100 will get cancer in their cervix. So, you know, we'll give them this when they're 13, 14 years old, and they'll be all right. Well, what they did was, there's a certain chemical that your body produces, when you have your monthly, you know, period. All right? And the body produces this, and it causes the body to let loose of the blood in the cervix so that it can clean the cervix out. So what do? The World Health Organization, they mixed that chemical into the HPV vaccine, and these girls were now bleeding to death with non-stoppable periods. What was that for? They call it a cleansing. Get rid of the scum, they call it. When I heard that, I tell you, you talk about being angry. The Bible says you can be angry, but it's just in not, which means disbelieve not. That makes me angry. To see these people, because they went to Harvard or Yale or some school, they think that they are superior to the person that lives in a mud hut. It makes me angry. These people are devils. And I will stand at the white throne and I will judge them. Actually, I'll be sitting in the white throne and I'll judge them. And they'll have to stand before me. And you. It's time we smarten up, brother, sister, know what's going on. He says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in vain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. Because what good does having the mind of God and the opinions and values and judgment of God do for us in a dying body? That was not God's intent at all. And Paul called that having the down payment of the first fruits, but God has a purpose and plan for us having the first fruits, and that is to produce the same thing Jesus, who held him, within him the resurrection and life, produced. And that is a resurrected body, as we saw in the Alpha in Lazarus and then Jesus. And in this hour, it is to produce in us the same effect. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man yet seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought to. But the Spirit maketh itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things live. Let me just say this. If you're having your family prayer at night, where there's an app, if you have a cell phone, just download it from either the Android or the Apple. But it's called Bible.is. And it has an audio Bible, and you can just simply put it on, play a chapter every night with the family, and then pray. And when you pray, just go say, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord of my soul to keep, blah, blah, blah. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for your family first. Then I want you to pray for the brothers and sisters in this local body. Then I want you to pray for all those brothers and sisters that you know around the world. And you'll find when you begin to go out and you're praying, and my prayer for every one of you is this, that you are resurrection ready. That you will be ready and longing for that resurrection ministry to begin, and that you'll be partaking in it. That you'll turn from the shout, right, flow right into the voice of the resurrection. And that's my prayer every night, brothers and sisters. I pray for every one of you by name. By name. Even you guys. By name.
Amen.
And I pray for your situations too. I pray for your families. And I want you to do the same. Because he says, moreover, here it says, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also, past tense, glorified. And dopes azod in dopsa, that's opinion, values and judgment, and zoe. In your zoe is God's seed, his dopsa. Therefore, it has to go well beyond justification and sanctification, right to glorification of God's dopsa in our very life manifested. And that is a resurrection life manifested. From verse 31, what should we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What are we afraid of coronavirus for, or any other virus the devil can throw our way? We are complete in Christ and him alone. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? And if he who is the author is also the finisher of your faith, then what are you worried about? If he that began the good work in you promised to complete that work, then what do you fear? If he's working in us both to will and then to do, then what are you afraid of? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, the squeeze? You see? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature may be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, we're going to close shortly, but I would like to read a few thoughts from a prophet for us to take with us as we depart this Easter Sunday to go and have a meal with our families, if you do. But we're not going to have foot washing today, but we will have the communion of the bread, all right? And I've instructed the brothers to put the bread in individual glasses, and the wine, of course, we always have in individual glasses. So just for if there be any that are weaker in here that would have a problem. All right. Now, and this next quote especially that I'm going to read to you is where I want to get our focus on this morning. This is what I want you to take with you from service. If you haven't taken anything else, I want you to take this with you. This is very important. From Why Little Bethlehem, Brother Bass said, we cannot have this resurrection life unless it serves God's purpose. There you go. We cannot have this resurrection life unless that resurrection life serves God's purpose. Now, if a seed is planted and that seed is germinized, it brings forth a new flower. But if it isn't germatized, it will not bring forth a new flower if it doesn't serve God's purpose. Yet now, just because it's a flower, it rises because it serves God's purpose. That's the reason the sun rises, is because it serves God's purpose. And we rise when we serve God's purpose. And if your life is to serve God in the best way that you know how, you will have a resurrection. Now, with this in mind, then what ought our attitudes be toward others who are struggling to understand? Jesus never just wrote them off, but he went after them, not with a whip. That was for the unbelievers who hated the light. What Jesus did was to give them an example after example of his own resurrection presence, his own resurrection evidence, showing his own resurrection life. So our life has a purpose, and each of us needs to find that purpose and then live for that purpose. If it's to be a mother, then live as a mother for the glory of God. If it's a driver, then live your life as a driver for the glory of God. If it's a nurse or doctor, then live that life for the glory of God, the dopes of God, and express his opinions, his values, and his judgments. That is resurrection life. You say, well, preacher, that's what I'm already doing. Praise the Lord. Then all I can say is just walk like Enoch walked every day. Every day. Just walk with him. From a sermon, End Time Seed, Brother Bram says, look at your flowers. I was noticing today, coming down, the flowers, how pretty they are. They're here for a purpose. They're spoken words of God. God spoke them into existence. And when he did, look what happens. They're pretty standing in your yard. After a while, frost hits them. Young ones, old ones, middle age. As soon as frost hits them, it's death. But they bow their little heads, and what happens? A little black seed of some sort drops out of them. Believe it or not, God has a funeral procession for them. The fall rains come, that's the tears, see, as it was, drops from the sky and buries the seed. The winter comes on, the petal gone, the stalk's gone, the bulb's gone, the seed freezes, bursts open, the pulp runs up. Is that the end of the seed? No, sir. Let that warm sunshine, which brings forth resurrection of all botany life, as soon as that sun begins to light the earth and get warm, there's a germ of life somewhere in that seed, and it lives again. Why? It served the purpose of God, and God makes a way for it to live again. Now, we're put here for a purpose, but we must serve that purpose. Choose either life or death, or death or life. So we're put here for a purpose, but we must serve that purpose. That's serving God, because we're sons and we're daughters of God. And if we are going to be glorified with him, that means that the same glory he has will manifest in you as well. Now, if flowers have a purpose of God, then what about sons and daughters of God? If flowers have a resurrection every spring, if trees have a resurrection every spring, what about his own children? We know there's a scripture that is being fulfilled right before right before this very day all over the world for the elect of God. There is a bride and elect lady that is being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. There is an elect lady and a bride of Christ, sons of God, who are manifesting as sons in sonship. There are children becoming matured by the word that they are getting ready for the adoption, and the only thing left for them is body change, the change of the body. That's adoption ready. Now, it is not always an easy thing to find God's purpose for your life, and Brother Bram explains that to us in his sermon, I Know My Redeemer Liveth, where he said, and Moses, when he became 40 years old, a middle-aged man, and he'd been trained in school, but God has such a rigid way sometime of bringing his things to pass at his promise, how that he took Moses back at the backside of the desert and let him hear the screams and the haunts as he staggered in the wilderness, and as back there alone in the desert and howling winds, the scorpions and cobras, and alone out in the wilderness till he almost perished. There's nothing can defeat the purpose of God. God had brought Moses forth, and Moses had to do what God told him to do, because God's purpose cannot be defeated. And if Moses had to do what God told him to do, and if Jesus had to do what God told him to do, what about you and me? And since God's purpose cannot be defeated, then find your purpose for your life this Easter afternoon. Don't rest until you have met with God and have talked to him, and he shows you his purpose for you in your life. But there will be a resurrection for you if your life has been lived for God's purpose. And that is what he told us in his sermon, letting off the pressure. He said, I said to him, Lloyd, what would you want me to take the funeral text from? And he said, Brother Billy, he said, I would like for you to speak this. If it's the will of the Lord, just some assurance that my mother will be back again. Now, any of you have a mother that's passed away? I want you to be listening to what he says. The guy wanted assurance that his mother would be back again. And I said, very well. So I took the text over in Job, if a man dies, shall he live again? And I've taken it from I believe, Job 14, I think it is, and how Job seen how the botany life, when it died, it lived again. So I took the subject of anything that lives to the will and purpose of God has a resurrection. And being a missionary and traveling the world, I've had the privilege of seeing many gods and the philosophies of life and what people worship. And in all of it, that's about all that it is, a philosophy outside of Christianity. Christianity has a truth. You see, men seek a purpose-driven life. They even write books about a purpose-driven life. But it's not about God's purpose, it's about their own purpose. They choose to find their own purpose in life rather than finding God's purpose for them. Remember, Jesus said to the Father, for this purpose have I come into the world. Therefore, not my will, but thy will be done. And if you can find the purpose of God for your life, you too have a promise of resurrection. Now, in closing, Brother Branham said in Garnet Peak's funeral, he said, it speaks to us of these things. Nature calls out day by day. The sun rises and sets. The moon and stars come out the same day. Everything in nature revolves in one thing. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Every day of our life, something's testifying to us. Death, burial, resurrection. We walk over the top of it many times. Let's not do that. That's not why it was set here. And the world set in order like that. It's for eternal life that we know. And seeing upon the seeds, if they're not germatized and serve the purpose of God, it cannot rise. Neither will we rise, though we be good people, though we be church members, though we be gallant neighbors, fine people, educated, smart. The only way there's a resurrection for you is if you find God's purpose for you and you walk in it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we sing that song, if we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Help us, O God, to continue to walk in the light, knowing the squeeze is on. We see the beginnings of it. It's going to get worse. Things are going to get better and then worse, better and worse, until that hardening process takes place and people are just no longer willing to walk in the light. Father, help us, O God, because we know that in the days of Moses, there's 2 million people followed that pillar of fire, and only two of the original 2 million entered in. And Father, we know that those who were around Brother Branham following the pillar of fire, most of them have died off. Lord, we see the same thing happening in this hour. So Father, we just pray that you be with us. Help us, O God. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We got a little amener back there. Hallelujah. Well, the brothers would bring forth the elements. Brother John, brother.
I got it.
You got it? Okay. Oh, that's fine. And what we're going to do is just have, when you come up, we're not going to have the foot washing, so just go back to your seat when you're done. And we'll just take one row at a time when they're up and through, then the next row up and through, and just leave some space between you just so that, you know, the government, you know, if they're watching us, they can know that we're at least trying to do some things like they, but we're not doing without what we do. So, we turn to John chapter 13. And that's for all the naysayers that says, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you've got to render to Caesar what Caesar, but they forget the next verse says, but unto God what's God's. You've got to render to God what's God. Render to Him first. All right, so John chapter 13, we read. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, that he was come from God, he went from God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answering and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter then said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had their and had taken their his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done for you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should have you should do as I have done for you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Now, do we have those in the separate? Okay. The the wine, of course, is in a glass, and also, so if you, when you come up, take one glass of the bread and one glass of the wine. And you take your bread, and then we'll do that as a, let's just bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate the time to be able to honor you in this commandment, Father, and to do this as often as we would. Lord, we, Father, we pray, Lord, that the bread that we hold before us and the wine, Lord, which are representations of your body and the shed blood, Lord, of the innocent one, Father. Lord, we pray that the believers that would come through the line tonight, Father, that they would partake, and Lord, may they place it upon themselves, Lord, to be in a worthy manner. And we ask, Lord, that if there's anything that stands between us tonight, Father, that you would, Lord, just remove it from our lives, Father, forgive us for our shortcomings now, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And I'll stand in the middle, so we'll do a little bit different by row. Once your row is done, you go back to the left, same way, back to the left, and back to your seats. That way we don't have to have a line. So, Brother Don and Brother Sister Cindy, we'll start with you.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee.